Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, hey, welcome to Playboys Extra. I'm the Dean, joined again by Mireia, and we're going to talk about more Lorca. Mireia, which play are we doing today?
The House of Bernarda Alba. La Casa de Bernarda Alba.
That's it, the House of Bernarda Alba. This one's written just a couple of years after the last one that we did. Which do you like better out of the two?
I think La Casa de Bernarda Alba, the House of Bernarda Alba, is stronger.
Okay.
I like it, but La Casa de Bernarda Alba is, for me, I think it's better. Like, Bernarda Alba, you know, it's a, that woman.
Yes, she's a very strong character. I like the first one. Even just the title, like the blood wedding, like that's the pinnacle of that kind of romantic literature, you know, and the fact that it ends with the deaths is, you know, but maybe something similar will happen here, who knows, so... Dramatis personae this time, it's Bernarda herself. She's 60 years old. As a side character, we have her 80-year-old mother. So she's still alive, Maria Josefa. And then she has a range of daughters, all between 20 and 40. Not all of them are as important as the others, but I'll just quickly name them all. The oldest, Angustias. Then we have Magdalena, Amelia, Martirio, and the youngest, 20 years old, Adela. Now we also have her friend, stroke servant, 60 years old, same age as her, Poncia, her 50-year-old maid, and then there's another friend, Prudence, who comes in at one point, who's also 50. So the ages are given for all those characters. And then there's a few other women who pop in now and again, but those are the main characters. So they're all named more or less this time, apart from some of the minor characters.
We are missing someone that doesn't talk, but is on the... Like another character?
Interestingly, not listed here, but there's Pepe El Romano.
Pepe El Romano.
So there is a male character. Well, tell me this before we get into it, just for 1 minute. So Lorca is a man, but all of these, because I've read four of these plays now, they're all mostly about women with strong female characters. Not like in a feminist way, they're sort of very traditional. But why does he write so much about female characters in this place?
He was impressed by the female figure. That is, I don't think, I mean, you know, the feminism wasn't like a big movement in that moment, but I could consider Lorca kind of feminist.
You think
because,
so?
Yeah, I mean, all the women represent really important paper on the society, and they obey what the society expects from them. But at the same time, they're so strong. Sometimes they go against what they expect, like we saw in The Pride. We are going to see here using Yerma.
Yeah. Well, they're strong, but even Yerma, she's obsessed with having a kid and her barrenness, you know. I would like to see look, one person's not going to change the world, right? The world that they're in, that's their role. So I guess they can only do so much. Okay. So another three-act play, 1936, La Casa de Bernarda Alba. We open with Poncia and the maid. So Poncia's position is interesting. She does seem to be a servant, but she's not on the same level as the maid. Like, she is also a friend to Bernarda, and they've been together many years. But the maid is her little confidant, and they do like to have a little moan about Bernarda together sometimes as well. And they do that twice, and the first time is the opening scene. And then they say, put Pontius in the middle, grab yourself some food. So today she's not going to notice because there's more stuff going on. It's the funeral today. So she's distracted.
Just preparing the house.
It's her husband's funeral, right?
It's the funeral of Bernarda's husband.
Yeah. Okay.
Pontius and the maid are preparing the house for their guests.
For the guests, yeah. And they're worried that everything needs to be, and they joke around, you know, about how perfect the house has to be, but get everything scrubbed up and get it all ready. And if she finds out we're not working, she'll pull her hair out and all this kind of thing. So first things we hear about Bernarda are not good things. And they even say to hell with her at one point. And then the maid says, look, Pontius, she has been good to you, which to a point she has been. But Pontius mentions that, you know, it's been 30 years of serving her. So may she roast in hell, she actually says. So I guess they're not really that friendly. And she says, but I'm a good dog. I bark when she tells me to. And I think she keeps up appearances. She does what she has to do. What else is she going to do at this point? You know, you've been someone serving for 30 years. Where are you going to go? You know, so. And as we say, look, she does have a more privileged position than the maid does, for example. You know.
So. Something that from the first scene, like, impressed me was the maid when she's saying Antonio Maria Benavides, that you are dead, and now you cannot just pull up my skirt.
That's right. I couldn't remember where that happened. Yeah, she mentions now the husband can't pull up my skirt behind the barn again or something like he used to do. Yeah. And that doesn't go anywhere, but it is an extra little detail. And I mean, in these plays, like I mentioned Lorca's depiction of women in a very stereotypical way, but he also depicts men in a very stereotypical way. They're big and manly and hardworking, but they're really not nice to the girls, and they like to, you know, womanize them and cheat. And also sometimes, well, he's pulling up her skirts, whether she wants it or not. So there might be an element of like kind of sexual abuse in there. That's the society that it's depicted, right? Traditional women who are almost scared of men at times.
When you're a servant for a family, that's what normally happens.
Oh, don't tell me that.
I mean, that's something that happened a lot in the history. You can see in a lot of famous people that the special relationship they have with the servants.
Wow. Well, Bernarda comes in now and starts to complain. Is the lemonade ready? And, you know, what is everything? What's going on? And get, you know, tells them off to hurry up and things like that. They mention that the men are drinking in the yard, and here they first mention Pepe El Romano, and he's drinking with them, with all the other men, so that's fine. We'll leave it for now. We'll find out more about him later, but he seems to be the only eligible bachelor in the whole town, or at least that this family are aware of. So now we get some, I guess, hymns, a bit of religious singing. I mean, it is a funeral, so you're going to get a little bit of that. A little bit of religious patter, rest in peace, and so forth.
Yeah, something very Catholic.
Yeah, very, very Catholic stuff happening here. And then some unnamed women say, look, don't worry, you're not going to lack food on their table and a roof for your daughters. So that's fine. And they say give the men bring some money, you know, to help the family out, and they give them some brandy as a little thank you.
It's but for paying them
for the prayers, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly, on the mess for the...
I'm hoping that they use it to feed the family, but, you know, maybe I'm naive.
Rich, I mean, that's what Bernarda Alba is always saying, like they're kind of rich.
Yeah, I suppose. But with the husband dead now, I don't know if... Well, we'll find out in a moment, actually, as well, if they're really rich or not. And the interesting thing is, she doesn't want them in the house. She's kind of like, well, take this brandy to them outside. Like, I don't want them all dirtying my house, so to let everyone come in here. And then when the women leave, they even complain, look what they've done to the floor. And Poncia cleans it. She doesn't get the maid to do it. So this is the moment where I first realized, okay, when Bernard is there, she is still just a servant. I think with the maid, she takes a kind of higher position. Like, she's Bernard's friend. But now when Bernard is there, she's like, okay, I'm going to get done and clean this. So I am just a servant at the end of the day. One of the daughters gives Bernard a fan and she complains that you should only give me a black fan because it's a sad day. Don't give me a colorful fan. So that's superstitious nonsense there. But, yeah.
The colors. In this display, the colors and the fan is so important. But the colors...
It was a red fan, wasn't it? Or no, it was red and green flowers.
And green. Green is... I think we said before, is representative again. For Lorca, there's a lot of things that represent the death.
Yes, and I said it was
the passion, the sexual feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not the best thing you can wear for a funeral, but the colors are so important.
Okay.
We will see after with Adela and the dress that she puts that is green.
Okay, see, these are details that I miss. That I don't necessarily pick up on. So now they talk about, we've got, you know, to go into mourning. Now, this is crazy. Bernarda says we have 8 years of mourning ahead of us and no fresh air from the street will get into our house. We're going to be bricked up for 8 years because that's what the previous generation did. So that's what we're doing. And my Delena says, well, I'm not interested in that. I don't know if you... stuck up in here and I don't want to spend 8 years embroidering. She's like, oh, you'll keep busy, you'll embroider for the next 8 years,
you know. And they are all of the daughters are single, and I mean the oldest is for almost 40, so she needs to get married now.
I mean, even the youngest is 20, which would have been of marriageable age in that society anyway, so the you know, that's the youngest, you know. And Magdalena says, damn all women, because Bernardo explains that this is what being a woman is about, apparently, just having a horrible life. But Bernardo's perpetuating this. You know, she's the one causing it. She's like, women have a hard life. It's like, yeah, but you're the one making it hard. You know, I don't know why.
Because that's what they did in the family, and that's what they have to do, and they will have to do.
Yeah. And these daughters should do the same, I guess, if they ever have kids, and then she's just going in a horrible cycle. But she says, you can't go running to your father anymore. You know, he's gone. So now it's what I say goes. And Bernarda is a proper tyrant. So reminded me a little bit of La Casa de los Espíritus. Was it that one? One of the Latin American books anyway, where there's a bit of tyranny. But anyway.
Maybe como agua para chocolate.
I thought that. I was going to say that, but then I thought, hold on, is that not just the one where they had recipes? So I get really confused. But it was, yeah. It was como agua para chocolate. They had recipes, but then also they had this kind of tyrannizing. Yeah, you're right, it was. Okay. So Martirio refers to the grandmother as a wicked old woman. So this is interesting. They keep the grandmother locked in a room, basically.
Why?
And she's banging and she wants out. And they're just like, no, keep her locked in a room. This 80-year-old woman. Like, they don't even want her at the funeral in case people see her. I don't know why they hate her. Like, I don't... Like, Bernarda is asking for so much respect from her daughters while showing her mother none.
I mean, her mother is a kind of crazy.
Maybe later we'll see that the mother's losing her mind a bit. But even so, the way they treat her is really not good. And they don't let her, they basically keep her imprisoned in a room forever. Like, that's, she says.
The daughter's in prison with the 8 years, so.
The daughters are in prison too, effectively. Now, the maid, you know, says, oh, the old woman says that all you give her to eat is dog food and dishwater. And they say, oh, she's wicked. But I'm like, that can be true though, because like, I don't like Bernarda right now, and I wouldn't put it past her.
No one likes Bernarda.
No. Okay, so they mention, okay, the men are gone right now, and they complain because, well, basically because Angustias, the oldest daughter, is interested in men, and it's like the day of their father's funeral, and it's not really an appropriate time to be talking about men or thinking about men or running after men, so. Bernard is angry with her for that, and Poncia tries to put in a good word for her and says, look, don't worry, she wasn't thinking it through, she didn't mean any offense, so don't worry. Poncia and Bernarda talk. They heard some men saying some crass things, and Bernarda is kind of like, oh, and my daughter's overheard that, these like shameful things, like this is terrible, like these poor innocent 40-year-old women, you know, like, can't let them overhear these men talking about their crude things, you know. They're just insane.
Angustias is single, so she shouldn't hear about this.
But at her age, Bernarda was married with kids, so the fact that she's protecting her little girls is insane, you know. But they mentioned she's 39, she's never had a sweetheart, and Poncia says if you'd moved somewhere else, you would have got more men, but then you would be poor in that area. You're only rich here. And Bernarda's kind of like, hold your spiteful tongue. And she's, oh yeah, I can't say anything in this house. But she can. She always says something a lot of the time. And then it's like, oh, I never get to give my opinions. Like, yes, you do. You give your opinion quite a lot.
When you see this on the stage, like...
It would be funny, I think, on the stage.
It's so funny to see it for me.
I like Poncia, to be honest. I really do. Okay, so now the maid comes in. Don Arturo's here to sort out some legacies. We don't meet him as a character. That's fine. We don't need to worry about that. Emilia and Martirio talk, and they say Adelaida wasn't at the funeral, which is odd, I guess, but... I mean, don't worry too much about each individual sister. Only one or two of them are really important. I think Adelaide is irrelevant, you know. Yeah.
We only have to care about Angustias and Adela.
And maybe a little bit Martirio, maybe, in one scene, more or less. The others are irrelevant. I forgot Adelaide was even a character, to be honest. But they tell these stories about, oh, well, she's scared of her mother, and then they tell some story about Cuba, Adelaide's father, you know, he killed his first wife's first husband so he could marry her. And they say, well, all this kind of stuff. And men can get away with this. So men are violent and they can do what they want and they cover up for each other and they get away with it. There's almost a lawless kind of society. But they do mention, however, that in the past, there was a guy, Enrique Humanes, who did like Martirio possibly, but then he married someone else. And now she's sad. Here's a nursing line from Martirio about women. About men. All they care about is land, oxen, and a docile little bitch to dish up their food. So that's sad. But to be fair, from the men we meet, that does seem to be accurate. So sadly, they are not wrong. But the guy that he married in the end, you know, he married a girl who was ugly but rich. So. There's a theme about that as well, because that's about to happen. And I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. It's a bit of a spoiler, but Angustias is also not attractive, and she's the oldest, but she's rich. So that's the repetition there. Okay. Magdalena comes in, and they just talk a little bit about embroidering again. Nothing really. Magdalena's not that important either. And here's the bit where you mention Adela has put on the green dress. I didn't notice that detail, but now you've mentioned it to me. So, green is death.
Okay. To feed the chickens?
She goes out to feed the chickens, and she's mirthful and happy and runs around singing to the chickens, and chickens look at me, and I thought she was a bit weird, but fun, and she's the youngest one, so you let her away with a bit of silliness, I suppose.
Yeah, she's 20. But the important thing here, I think, I'm going to say again, is the green dress.
Okay. And it's at this point that they emphasize, the other sisters say, Pepe Romano wants to marry Angustias, but only for her money. So they talk about that. It's now made explicit at this point. And Adela comes in and they all talk about the chickens have had a good look at her and they kind of joke around and they say, mother will tear your hair out again. They seem to say that a lot. They're all afraid of the mother, basically. Adela is surprised that Pepe still wants to marry Angustias when Magdalena talks to her about it. So that's potentially a little interesting detail there as well. But Adela talks about, breaks into angry tears. I don't want to be shut in this house. You know, this house, the house is a prison, basically. And she's like, going to put on my green dress and go out for a walk. And the maid kind of says, you shouldn't go out. And they are meant to be in mourning. The dad has been buried the day before, to be fair. So maybe give it a couple days before you start going out and chasing men and doing whatever else. So that's fair enough, I suppose. Pepe's on his way down the street, and Adela says it's of no interest to me. I think she's lying. Okay, they mention now when Bernarda and Poncia come in, they mention again that a lot of money was left to Angustias by her father. So I think she has a different father from the others.
There are two different fathers. Angustias from the one that died. Bernarda married a new man that is the father of the other four.
So Angustias is the only one who's going to do well, essentially. And Angustias basically says, well, the man who died wasn't my father, so I'm getting made up and going out. And Bernarda says, look, he was still good to you, though, which is fair enough. But then Bernarda calls her a hypocrite and a Jezebel and wipes her makeup off roughly and, you know, tells her to get out. And again, Poncia tries to say, look, calm down. Poncia always kind of puts in a good word for the daughters and sort of says, look, relax, you know, to Bernarda. She has some influence with her, even though she's her employer. And Bernarda's always striking the floor with her stick and shouting at people, and they're all afraid of her. And now we meet the mother, well, the grandmother, I guess, Maria Josefa. And she basically says, none of these girls are ever going to get married. I'm going to get married before any of them do, basically. So she's 80 years old. And she never gets to meet anyone anyway. She's trapped in one room. And they all throw her back in the bed. I mean, it literally ends with they all seize the old woman. Like, they're rough with her. Like, I don't like that.
Just imagine being there and hear your grandmother saying, like, I'm going to get married before you. You're going to be single forever.
Yeah. And that's the end of Act 1. Curtain. Yes. Okay. Act 2, we open with some of the daughters talking again, Angustias and Martirio. They're just doing embroidery and they're cutting things up and they're preparing materials and dresses and whatever else for the wedding. That's all women ever do in these plays, to be honest. It's just constant embroidery. They mentioned that here's a very important detail. They heard horses leaving around 4 o'clock. So there seems to be a strange thing in this society where a man courts a woman by going to her window at the middle of the night on his horse and talking to her. And that's so weird.
Yeah. Think again about the horse as we saw in Blood Weddings.
Yes. Again, he's on the horse. Now, to be fair, they do say he's not going to random windows. They will have already spoken before via go-betweens and kind of arranged it. So they'll be aware that they like each other. You know, men aren't just going up to random girls' houses on their horse. But he's staying very late. So that's curious. Because actually, I don't know if it's now or in a few moments, but we find out that Angustias, who he's going to speak to, was not aware that he was still around that late. So...
I mean, I suppose that all the daughters were awake, just waiting about what is going to happen with the sisters.
I don't know how they're not all like suffering from sleep deprivation, because no one, they're all staying up to 4 a.m. and then they're getting up early to embroider. So I don't know, no one's ever sleeping. Poncia tells stories about her husband and how, you know, she was, when the guy would get closer and say, come here, let me feel you, and all this kind of stuff, and the girls are all kind of squeamish about these kind of details, like, you know, it's, they're
when
afraid
you read
of what,
in
what's
Spanish,
that
what you read that in Spanish is even funnier, because they say that, like, in a really like rural way to talk,
right?
So it's like, yeah, he's not too much smart.
right, okay, that doesn't translate. Then they mentioned that she nearly poked his eye out once and she hit him a few times, so she kept, that's how women should be, keep him in control, which I'm really against until I see what the men are actually like in this world, and I'm like, yeah, maybe someone needs to keep them in control and hit them a slap from time to time, because that's, they're all horrible. And there's a little bit of chatter about some of the sisters being jealous about the wedding. So that's interesting. And some of them aren't sleeping. Adela in particular seems to be not sleeping. And Maddalena Mercurio talk about that.
And who's Adela? Because she's not only awake. She's half naked and with a candle in the window so Pepe can see her from the outside.
Yes. She's in the window. I don't know if that gets mentioned here or in a moment or two, but yeah, she's hanging around the window half naked. So let's skip ahead a little bit here because we've put all the puzzle pieces in. Pepe's leaving Angustias's window around 1 o'clock, and then the other sister's in the window half naked, and he's going over and talking to her until 4 o'clock. We're talking. We'll elaborate on that in a moment. So there we go. She's stealing her sister's fiance, essentially, or her half sister, or whatever you want to call it. Which is not good sibling conduct. It's interesting that these girls are so petty that they will steal men from their own sisters, though. So obsessed with the need to get married and have kids. And Adela starts saying, you know, my body will be given to whoever I choose and all this kind of thing. So she is trying to be a strong character, I suppose. And Poncia says she's behaving like a child, however. And Poncia knows what's going on. And she just says, control yourself. And, you know, he's going to marry Angustias. This is God's law. Don't get involved. Don't do anything with them. And we want to be in a respectable household. I'm not going to be besmirched in my old age and all this kind of stuff. And Adela says, keep your advice to yourself, basically. And Angustias comes in and says, oh, you're arguing as usual. And Poncia covers for Adela and says it was about perfume. So she doesn't want to reveal anything just yet. And now, would you believe they talk about clothing again, bridal sheets and petticoats and embroidery. So they really love their embroidery.
There's the only thing they can do in that
house. Yeah, it's the only thing that all six of these women can do. But Magdalena, the lazy one, says she's no intention of sewing a single stitch for anyone's family or anyone else's baby's bonnets. And that's the end of it. And the men get to go out to work and kind of feel like she would rather have been a man. It's almost implied. Okay. There's a lot of chitter chatter here, but nothing really happens until, well, the worst punishment is to be born a woman. There we go. That's the line I was looking for. A chorus. Lorca uses the chorus better than Shakespeare because the chorus is very important in Greek plays. We don't really have it so much in modern plays. In a couple of plays, Shakespeare tries to use it and he opens the scene with it and then just forgets all about them. And it's terrible. He's terrible with the chorus. Lorca doesn't seem to use them a lot, but they appear here and they just kind of hear them singing outside or whatever. And they sing two little stanzas, two refrains, and then they're gone. And that's kind of like how the chorus would have been used in a more minimalist role in, for example, Menander late period Greek comedy. But anyway, we don't need to get into that. I was happy to see the chorus. So there we go.
But you have also the chorus in, for example, Blood Weddings, where the girls are talking.
Yeah. It's just here it specifically says chorus rather than the girl, because they're singing together. The girls are all talking one by one and it's slightly different, but yeah. And the girls annoyed me in the wedding, though. I don't like things that don't advance the plot usually, but I was happy to see a chorus. So we're going to race through this. We're almost done. Again, they talk about voices in the yard at nighttime, so just more details about this. Arterio and Amelia have a little confrontation now. Basically, everyone suspects everyone and everyone knows that something's happening. And all of a sudden, now Angustias says my picture of Pepe, my betrothed, the picture's gone. And Bernarda comes in and what's all the fuss? Who's taking the picture? And Poncia's kind of like, should I say something? Should I not? She knows some stuff's going on and, you know, she's trying not to say anything. Turns out it's not Adela who's taking the picture. It's actually Martirio. What's right?
I thought that was Adela.
Yeah, it's Martirio who took the picture. She also likes Pepe. So three of these five daughters are in love with Pepe. The only eligible bachelor in the whole place. Adela starts talking about punishing people by stripping them naked and putting them in the river, and the mother calls her depraved and they have a wicked tongue and all this kind of stuff. It's not the correct way for these kind of chaste women to be thinking, I suppose. But Poncia confirms, you know, it's Angustias that he's going to marry, and Bernarda says, go on, you know, you get the knife sharpened for me. She kind of knows that Poncia knows something else. Poncia can't win here because when she speaks out, she gets accused of, you know, betraying the family. And then when she doesn't speak out, it's like, well, it's only because you've got nothing to say anyway. You were wrong. And it's like, well, okay, she's not going to win this argument then. Let's just let Bernarda have her way. She's a, you know, a tyrant anyway. But Poncia tries to tell her there is something going on here. Just look around yourself and think about it. Don't necessarily make me say things that you're not going to believe anyway, but look around yourself, you know, and keep an eye on your daughters. And Bernarda eventually says, from now on, I'm taking complete control of everything that's going on in the house. So she's going to be even more of a tyrant than she's previously been. Okay. So we're about to wrap up Act 2. How does Act 2 end? Is basically what I've said, except the key detail is Angustia says, oh no, he leaves me around 1, not 4. So that's when this bit happens. And then they say, oh, and he goes to a different window now. He doesn't go to your window, Angustia. Does he go to a different window? No. Oh, it's Adela's window, and then she's half naked, and all these details come out as Act 2 kind of comes to a close, and Bernarda's now going to really step up and take care of things. And the sisters have all kind of fallen out. And that's a little bit sad. The very last page of Act 2 is really sad, though. So I don't know if you remember this. Basically, they mentioned just some other neighbor. Some other neighbor was pregnant and no one knew who the father was. Okay? So they come and kill her. They kill this pregnant girl. And Adela is shocked. And she's like, what? No, don't kill her. Like, I hope someone helps her. I hope someone saves her. Why would they kill this poor pregnant girl? And Bernarda says, well, that's all she deserves. So kill her anyway. And we're thinking, why is Adela so worried? Maybe she's been doing more than just talking to Pepe.
Yeah, only talking.
For 3 hours every night, so. But, yeah.
It's so shock, really, reading that. The pregnant woman. But
because even Angustias hasn't slept with Pepe. Only Adela has, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting. So,
I mean, Poncia said something to Adela before this. Like, Pepe is going to marry Angustias, but you know Angustias is so weak and she's going to die soon.
Yes.
So after her death, Pepe is going to marry you. So don't be afraid. You're going to get married.
It's a good strategy because she'll inherit the money as well. All the money from Angustias will go to Pepe and then go to Adela. She'll get the man and the money and everything will be happy. She's got to wait a few years.
Yeah, of course, it's a good strategy, but I mean, you're kidding your sister.
So let's race through Act 3 real quick. We open with the friend, Prudencia, who's not important, talking to Bernarda. They're catching up a little bit. And then they sort of say that the ring that was given to Angustias isn't good enough because it's pearl. It should be diamonds, but it's only pearls because that's the kind of thing that's really important to society. But we skip, the sisters are still arguing over the picture and things like that. And Bernarda's trying to make everyone think they've got family harmony. And what time did Pepe leave at last night? And just more of the same details we've talked about, really. So it's getting dark and they talk about how dark it is at night. And they're all going to go to sleep. But we wonder, well, are they really going to go to sleep? And of course, it turns out that no. We do a kind of comical sequence where they're all staying up because they all want to go out to see Pepe. So Adela's going to sneak out and things like that. I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but basically they go down to get a glass of water and it turns out Poncia is on guard and Bernarda's initially on guard as well, until they get everyone to go to sleep. But eventually Adela does sneak down to get her glass of water. And Poncia is kind of there with the maid at this point waiting for her because they know what's going to happen. She's really going down to see Pepe. And it's interesting, Angustias has gone to bed because Pepe's told her he can't make it tonight. He's got some business. But actually, he's still going to meet Adela. So that's even worse than before. And Maria Josefa, the granny, comes in and she's got a lamb and she thinks the lamb is her baby and she's a bit crazy. And I don't know what's going on there.
A mix between drama, like you're guessing what is going to happen with Adela Angustias and Pepe, and then we have Poncia Maria Josefa.
Yes. Maria Josefa's crazy. I don't know why she's really in the play, to be honest. She says she knows it's a lamb, but why can't a lamb be a baby? I've got nothing else. And she really hates Martirio for some reason. she says, Bernard is a leopard. Sorry, it's not Martirio. My Delena. My Delena's a hyena. And Bernard is a leopard face.
Bernarda, cara de leoparda. Magdalena, cara de hiena. The Spanish rhyme. So.
Yeah, okay, okay. And Martirio drags her back to bed. And that's that. But the old granny knows that they're all in love with the same man. So she's figured that out. And she tells them that. You all love him, but he'll eat you up. So Adela and Martirio argue because they realize that Martirio likes him as well because she took the photo. They know Adela likes him. She's coming in covered in straw because she's actually been rolling in the hay with him. And then Martirio says that, you know, that's going to bring shame on the family. And Adela says, let him marry Angustias and then just keep me in a separate house and come and have sex with me when he needs to, basically. And it's like, wow, okay, you would do that to your own sister. Like, that's crazy. So how does the play end? Again, quite tragically. They're all arguing and Adela wants to go out and see Pepe. What's that?
The end is so, so strong, so...
Yeah. Bernarda comes in to, you know, what's all the ruckus, and she finds out what's happening. Adela's been sleeping in the riverbed and things like that, and in the reeds with Pepe. So Bernarda says, okay, where's the gun? And Bernarda goes out with the gun and fires the gun. And Martirio, interestingly, she says, well, that's Pepe done for, which they think Pepe's dead, so Adela runs off. And then she says, nah, I'm only joking, he's already dead. She shot the gun and missed, and Pepe ran away on his horse, so don't worry. Pepe's not dead. But Adela doesn't know that. So Martirio's little prank caused Adela to run into a room. They hear a thud, and Adela has committed suicide, I guess, off stage.
Yes.
And because of Martirio's joke. So that's very sad. Not even showing any sadness as such, Bernardo just insists my daughter died immaculate. She was still a virgin. No one should ever know that she slept with Pepe. And Angustia still needs to get married and everything. We're keeping our appearances. We're keeping up, you know, her reputation.
Yes. And it's so, so shock seeing this last part when Bernarda is saying, like, silence. I said silence.
Yeah.
It's shouting in the middle of the stage.
Do you think that Angustias and Pepe still get married, or does Pepe run off on his horse and never come back?
Do you want Bernarda as a mother-in-law?
No, but I'm just wondering what if he still wants Angustias' money, or I don't know. Maybe he'll take Martirio and Adela's gone. Who knows? It's a good play, though. I really, really enjoyed it. I love the romantic ending, of course.
Which one do you prefer?
I love both of those. I think I prefer slightly the first one. I also loved Yerma, but from the four, I think maybe Doña Rosita was my favorite of the four. I know you've not read it.
No, I have to read it. Read a lot of Lorca. Who do you hate most? Leonardo or Bernardo?
That's interesting. I think I don't like Leonardo, but Bernardo's such a... Like, Leonardo's not maybe good to his wife. But at the same time, the bride is the one who takes him away and he goes along with it, whereas Bernarda is a tyrant to five daughters and her mother and her servant. Like, she's very unlikable. I think it's got to be her.
She's really evil. Yes.
Yeah. Well...
I hate more Bernarda, but... Maybe it's one of my favorite characters.
She's good. Stomping her stick until one of the daughters breaks the stick near the end. I forgot to mention. But we're almost out of time. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for lending me the book as well, or giving me the book. I really enjoyed them. The plays were so good that maybe well have been Lorca.
Okay, thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.